Today on The Grave Talks, what haunts the Bell Mansion? Well, out late one night running, Jeff Walker came face to face with the paranormal. A paranormal ball of energy wisping near the trees, giving off bright blue and green rays of light. With millions of questions racing through his head, he needed to understand and know more about what just happened. It would lead him on a path that would put him as an employee of the Bell Mansion and investigating the dead in many more places. Today, we hear his story and much more on The Grave Talks.
Oh, gosh. I mean, I just remember when I was probably in middle school, actually. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the TV show called A Haunting.
Okay, yeah.
I just, you know, started growing a fascination. I'm like, well, what's this about? You know?
Yeah.
And started watching a TV show Haunting and Ghost Hunters and things like that. I've always had some sort of interest in, obviously, my experiences myself. Probably most dated was probably about 4 years ago. So I was downtown here in Fort Wayne, and I was going out for a run. Now, this is to kind of bring it back a little bit. I had lost a parent, mm-hmm. and I lost a sibling within a year.
Okay.
So this is, what this story kind of brings out to about. I was like, I was out downtown running, and I had stopped for a second, and I kind of stopped and looked over to my left. It was the weirdest thing ever. I couldn't explain it to this day. I still have yet to figure it out. But there's like this bluish greenish orb that was just kind of like flying around. And as soon as I looked, not even within 5-10 seconds, it just kind of disappeared. And I was just, and that was kind of like the day that really sparked. I'm like, okay, now I'm really considering, I'm like, I got to try to figure this out.
Wow. So that was that your first, you would say, experience yourself of something paranormal happening to you?
Yeah. I guess I know everybody's experiences are different. Everybody's got different gifts. And I'm not sure if I have a gift yet, but I do have a passion for the paranormal. But
sure.
That definitely sparked some interest. So
yeah.
I definitely want to look more into this. So I start asking people that were in the field about this, and I got so many different answers. So I'm like, well, I guess what's better to do is start to do research for myself.
Sure. Sure. I mean, it's interesting because you obviously had an interest and a passion even before this happened, but then you actually had the experience that seems like it kind of cemented it in even further. Tell me about the experience. It was this red, I'm sorry, that you said, but blue and greenish orb. Is that correct?
Correct.
That was just, you know, visibly there. It's not something that's coming through a camera lens or anything like that. You saw it with your own eyes.
It just happened at the most random time. Like, I just felt the need to, like, slow down or stop.
Yeah.
And I just saw the corner of my eye. And it was, I don't know, it's kind of hard to describe it. So it was just kind of like, it's kind of floating in there, like, rather quickly. It's kind of like, remember Tinkerbell. kind of so had those, what, you know, sparks or whatever yeah. flying from her. Like, so it was just this orb. It was just like a firework going off and just disappeared.
What kind of feelings were you having when you saw it? What was going through your mind? What kind of emotions came over you?
I was just like, okay, let me think about this for a second. I mean, I was just kind of like in awe for the rest of the day because it's like I've never... Like I said, that was basically my first paranormal experience, if that's what it was. And so as soon as, you know, I was listening to music on my run too, and then I had stopped doing that. I started doing research on my phone when I was on my way home. And I was just like, there's got to be a rhyme or reason to this. You know, could have been my sister who had recently passed away. Probably not even about 6 months after I had witnessed that.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, well, could it be, you know, somebody from my family just checking up on me? Or there's got to be some sort of rhyme or reason to why I myself experienced that, and why some other people can help me explain the, you know, things that I saw.
Were you under, I mean, obviously when you lose loved ones, it's stressful, and to do that in such a short period of time, at the moment when you saw it, obviously, you know, it's recent that these deaths occurred, but how were you feeling at the time emotionally? Were you in a kind of a dark spot at that moment, or kind of where were you at?
I was kind of getting over the grieving process and everything. And, you know, I've always been one to get into books and, you know, self-healing and stuff like that. So I was just trying to, you know, go through the emotions and, yeah, and figure things out, try to get my life, you know, back on track after dealing with that.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, at the time, you know, I was motivated, you know, some new things were, you know, happening for me in my life. So it was kind of hard to determine, well, was this something, you know, visually that was something that was going on wrong, or is this something truly paranormal that I experienced?
It makes me wonder. I mean, I like the idea where maybe it is your sister, maybe it's another loved one or something that's there. But something, right, I've been wondering about more recently, because it just seems to come up in a lot of stories, is the idea of us haunting ourselves. Could it have been literally some of your own energy being released when you're out running? You're kind of, you know, it obviously that's very healthy for you and good. It kind of, it burns calories, and it, you know, it helps us emotionally and mentally as well. I'm wondering if it was not just a burst of energy off of you as you were, you know, kind of resolving some things mentally, you're running and it's boom, it's out there and it's gone. And you saw it just the same as I wonder sometimes when people have poltergeist type activity and they're under a lot of stress, it happens. And it's not necessarily someone who's dead that's showing up to check in. And it's not like an angel. It's not a demon. It's ourselves. It's our own energy that may be doing some of these things. And in some cases, I think that would throw that concept into the mix there too, of could it have been that your own expulsion of energy? And it you saw it in that moment.
Yeah. And that's just, I think that's just a really unique thing about life in general is, and especially, you know, getting into the paranormal, more so just this past November, there's so much that we don't know, and there's so much that we will never know until we do, you know, potentially move on to the other side.
Sure. Sure. Tell me about, you know, this happened to you, you said about 4 years ago, and then you were like, I need to learn more about this. Where did that take you? Where did that journey start to take you?
Oh, wow. So, actually just this, past late November, early December, I had seen I hear locally on the news of this place that recently was a funeral home for 93 years, which is now today called the Bell Mansion. It's here in downtown Fort Wayne, and they're going to open up for paranormal investigating, and they have a team there known as Old World Paranormal Society. Amazing group of gifted individuals, and so I attended a public event as an open investigation for the public. You paid, it was like $25 or something like that. And I was like, well, this is really close to me. It was actually about 15 minutes from my house. Mm-hmm. And started attending those events and kind of learning and digging into more of the paranormal and having them kind of coach me. And I was just, I don't know, right from there, I just kind of, one of those aha moments, I was like, I think this is where I'm supposed to be. Like, it just, I don't know, it was just the weirdest experience. And everything that I've been able to experience there, like full body apparitions, shadow figures, orbs, disembodied voices, you know, it's sometimes in different locations, you might not be able to get all that at the same place, but, you know, there at the Bell, I was actually able to obtain all of that.
When you said, this is where I'm supposed to be, kind of having a weird feeling come over you that just kind of says that, what do you mean by that? Do you mean like you're meant to be investigating? Does it mean you're meant to be at that location at that time? How are you identifying that?
So after I left that night, I probably left the rec around 11 o'clock. I had spent like the entire next week just doing more research on the paranormal and looking up equipment. Obviously, I'd watched some of the TV shows like Ghost Hunters and things like that. But I started to become very passionate about it. And I was like, can I see myself in this field wanting to teach others?
Yeah.
About the experiences that I've had. It's like, never know what it's going to do for somebody else who might have interest, but are kind of afraid to go out there and say, hey, this is what I've experienced.
Sure. Sure. I mean, what an interesting place. Tell me more in detail about some of those experiences that you did have there. I mean, kind of get a whole list of different ones, but I mean, what was it like some of the first times you were having those experiences? What happened? Set up the situation and share that story.
Well, I literally had to pinch myself because, from what I experienced, it's different sometimes from what you can see on TV until you actually experience it in person. You're like, wow, I can't believe that just happened.
Sure.
For instance, when I saw my first full body apparition, so I was at the second floor of the Bell Mansion, and we were in a bedroom of one of the first homeowners. It was Mr. Robert Bell. And there's only about three or four of us, and it was towards the end of the night, probably around 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. This was an overnight investigation. And I heard some shuffling out there in the hallway. So I was like, well, I'm pretty sure I think we're the only ones that are left in the building. So I was just going to go out there and see if there's any, stragglers or whatnot.
Yeah.
And right down the hallway, there's a door that actually leads into the embalming room.
Okay.
And right there, I couldn't say it quick enough, but we had some other investigators in the room. I'm like, guys, I think I just saw something down here. Like, well, can you kind of explain it? I'm like, I just saw this shadow figure down the hallway in this doorway that had to at least be well over 6 foot and was there for about, 15 seconds. I couldn't make out any more detail. And then just kind of like vanished off to the right. And I told him to get out here after that, but obviously it just came and gone. So I was just like, holy crap. Didn't freak me out. I was more intrigued by the experience than anything. I ended up trying to take some equipment down there and see if I could try to figure out who it was or what it was. But at the end of the night, that was all I was able to gather from that.
Seeing a full-bodied apparition, I mean, that's something many people have never experienced or seen. When you saw it initially, did you know exactly that you were looking at a ghost?
Not necessarily, because we did have all the lights off in the building. So I was like, well, could it be, somebody here left, that was investigating and they were just, wandering up to the second floor. But then after I had seen it for that short amount of time and then just disappeared, I'm like, well, if I had those kind of powers to disappear like that, I've been using those powers a lot more often.
Yeah.
But when I had first seen it, I was like, okay, it's here. But then I had left. It was really hard to explain first. And then I said, after like 10, 15 seconds went by, it vanished. I'm like, okay, I think this is what I saw. So then I asked one of the investigators there. I'm like, hey, I think this is what I saw. And they're like, well, that's more with it. That could be definitely the case.
Mm-hmm. Looking in that, trying to find out if there's more of what you saw. What sort of questions did it leave you with as you walked out of there that day?
So before I got involved in the paranormal, I was always trying to debunk things, or I was a skeptic. So I had tons of questions going through my head. I'm like, hey, let me put off a checklist here. I'm like, did I get plenty of rest last night? Been feeling some sort of way emotionally lately.
Yeah.
Could there potentially be you know, high EMF in this place, which does can affect the brain. So I had all these questions rolling inside my head and trying to figure this out. Because I'm like, there's got to be some sort of way for me to say, hey, this is exactly what I saw.
Sure.
But after going, you know, through those series of questions with myself, I'm like, I really just couldn't figure it out. So that's like I said, that's why I went to the investigators. I'm like, hey, this is what I think I saw. Don't hope I'm not crazy, but this is exactly how I saw it. This is where it went off to. But
and their reaction was what when you talked to them?
Well, you know, since they've been obviously investigating a lot longer than me, like, well, that's very good potential possibility. But I'm just kind of like psyched over here. I'm like, I hope this is exactly what I saw. Or if there's somebody else here in the building that could have appeared like that.
Uh-huh. Did they have any, you know, oh, I've seen that same thing too type thing? Or was it?
So one of the lead investigators, he said he has seen a full body apparition there. Not sure when the time frame was that, because the building has only been open to the public since January. Mm-hmm. But he was actually one of the first investigation teams to go in there and investigate before they opened it up to the public. So he's, you know, he's like, well, that's, you know, what's very good possibility. That's what you saw. He's like, did you notice if you could see any type of clothing? So then he started asking me some questions of the figure itself and kind of what I saw. And that's as much as I could have experienced with that.
Now, I know you'd said it was a funeral home for quite some time. What else do you know about the history of the building?
So it was built back in 1893 by Robert Bell and Clara Bell. Robert actually brought natural gas here to Fort Wayne. But he actually died in that room that we were in that night back in 1901. And then after they owned it, I'll actually go back. Clara, she was actually the co-founder of the Fort Wayne Museum of Art. They sold it off to the Nobles, which owned a lumber company. And then after that, in 1927 is when it opened up as a funeral home and then was a funeral home until 2018.
Wow. So it was one for quite some time then.
Yeah. So, since 1927 to 2018, you know, 93 years, there is an estimated 300,000 to 600,000 bodies. potentially were embalmed there. So it's like knowing that those facts, it's like you just never know who you're going to come across.
And it's interesting because funeral homes are interesting locations because, you know, people don't tend to die there. I suppose it happens every now and then when somebody's in such pain and sorrow over a loved one that a heart attack occurs. It's probably a building where you're more likely to have someone having a heart attack or a medical emergency, quite honestly. Right. But just in general, they're these little batteries of buildings that it's not, I'm not always thinking it's the dead who've, you know, gone through there and been embalmed there that haunt them, but all of the energy and emotion of the living that go into those buildings and the sorrow and all of those feelings just condensed and some of the most deepest sorrow that one will have in their life expelled in those buildings. When it comes to a location like that, what are your thoughts on the spirits that would haunt it? Is it the people who, you know, they were on display there during their funeral? Is it some sort of residual thing with all of the energy? Or is it spirits that really had nothing to do with the building, but because there's all that energy just kind of sitting there, that they're showing up and using it just because it's been charged, if you will?
Right. I mean, that's definitely a great point. And I was just talking about the history of the building. You know, we think there's, you know, potentially that, you know, could have been some of the servants that lived there.
Sure.
They had servants back then for, you know, when the Bells were there. And I believe possibly when the Nobles were there. But then also the building itself is actually made out of limestone, Indiana limestone.
Wow.
So I've come to find out that also has the potential to, you know, kind of draw in the energy as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, to think of, there is a lot of residual energy there. And then actually right around the corner, there's a hospital that's being torn down right now. That's been there for well over 50 years.
Yeah.
And just thinking where that energy is going to go, if that's also playing a part in why that place is so active.
That, and I also wonder about haunted locations that are now used as investigation sites, basically paranormal tourism, or rented out, come investigate here. So many right. people doing that, so many people going in, so many different ways of doing things. I wonder how much that stirs the pot as well. Where, yes, the building may have been haunted initially, but does it become more haunted now that it's been opened up, where everybody's going in there seeking out and flat out asking to talk to the spirits?
Right. And I think everybody that has came in there, everybody has a different type of energy.
Uh-huh.
And those energies can kind of, release different things. And I'm not saying that every single person that comes in there has maybe some sort of attachment.
Yeah.
Like I said, everybody that comes through there has had experiences somewhere else. So their energies can be completely different, except from every single person that's walking through.
Yeah. No, it's just interesting, kind of the evolution of a haunting and how it's not, I think, all the time just observing, what's been there. Because I think a lot of new things are coming in the way that we do things now, basically, in terms of handling paranormal and haunted locations. It's fairly recent right. that it's turned literally into a cottage industry of going from place to place. I mean, it did not exist 10, 15 years ago, other than discussing it and that sort of thing. What an interesting experience, at the Bell Mansion. How did things continue on for you from after that in investigation and after you, really getting your feet wet and having those experiences?
Well, it actually turned into me kind of working there.
Wow. Okay.
I became so passionate about the paranormal, about the building itself. It's one of those unique places that kind of draws you in.
Mm-hmm.
So I always make the joke when I give tours and stuff, I'm kind of one of these residual spirits here that kind of started coming here, has never left.
Yeah. Sure. And you wonder about that too, where people just feel at home and they feel like this is just where I should be. So that's interesting.
Yeah. It's such a calming place. You would walk in there and not realize, hey, there's 40 active plus potential spirits that hang out at the mansion.
Are they all positive? Is it a positive vibe throughout all of the spirits there? Is there anybody that or anything that just maybe you could do without?
There's one spirit in particular, obviously Mr. Bell. Sometimes we joke about his attitude is just as short as he was, because apparently he is a pretty short guy.
Okay.
But other than that, I've never felt anything negative or demonic there.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, sometimes Mr. Bell's attitude, if we're there, sometimes can be a little mischievous. But I've never dealt with anything dark or demonic at all.
Sure. What's some of the most interesting things that you've heard or experienced? I mean, sometimes some of the most compelling stuff is caught by someone else, but you being so close to the location, what is something that you've heard that really made you go, oh my gosh, that would have been an interesting thing to experience here?
Yeah. So this was probably about a couple of months ago. We had an embalming table in the embalming room that had not been put together yet. So it was actually a pink embalming table, which for history reasons, pink embalming tables were actually used to embalm women on. So they had the white ones for the men and the pink one for the women.
Interesting.
And I know, I just learn new stuff all the time.
Of all things to customize like that, embalming tables,
Yeah. just like, well, you got your, you know, which one would you like to have your body prepared on?
Yeah.
It's like, you don't really have that opportunity to do that because you're dead. But very unique information I continue to get there. But I was heading down. I was looking for a tool because we're putting this embalming table together. It took three of us to get this together. Weighs a ton. It's originally the embalming table is from the 1930s.
Oh, wow.
And so I was going down to my car. There's only three of us there. I was going down to my car to get something out of the toolbox, see if I had a certain tool, which I didn't. So I started to come back inside, and I went through the garage and came up one of the doors, and I heard this voice like, hello, like saw like a young girl, probably like between, I don't know, probably from 5 to 10-ish.
Uh-huh.
I'm just like, hello. And I just really, sometimes you just don't think about it till you get up. And I was just like, okay, well, who was that? You know?
Yeah.
Gets my little paranormal gears going, makes me want to go investigate to find out.
Did you ever did you ever figure that out? I mean, it's a little girl. I mean, initially as an adult, you'd be like, well, there's a kid here. You know, your parental instincts kind of kick in and like, what's going on? You know, where's your parents? You know, all that. But when you had that experience, you know, did you think it was a real child at first?
I mean, how it came through, it's like she would been like standing like right next to me when I had heard it.
Yeah.
I heard it clear as day. So as soon as I got to the embalming room, I'm like, so I just heard this hello from this young girl as soon as I walked through the door.
Mm-hmm.
And my first instinct is we do have a spirit of a 4-year-old girl named Samantha that hangs out in the basement. Why she's in the basement, we have yet to kind of figure that out.
Uh-huh.
And she's not very, I guess she's not very easy to communicate with.
Uh-huh.
She died in a house fire, so she is kind of shy. So maybe I've been there so much, maybe she was starting to come out of her shell and she just wanted to say hello. So
yeah. So the spirits that are there, do a lot of them have a reason to be at that location? As far as you know, I mean, you said she died in a house fire. Is there a connection to the building? Where is there a way of looking at this? And when you identify who's who, is it typically someone who, you know, was embalmed there or had some sort of interaction?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good question because so when I first started investigating, we used certain devices like REM pods and things like that. But once you want to get more direct communication, you start doing EVPs and investing with the spirit box and stuff like that. You're trying to figure out, okay, who's here? What's your reasoning for here? Could they be attached to a piece of equipment that was there or in the and not in the garage, but actually in the basement? There's some artifacts. They're originally from the 1800s, you know, some baby boxes and some storage containers they used for bodies, things like that.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, could she have been, you know, attached to maybe one of the children's baby boxes that they will have, you know, picked up the child or the infant and brought up to the funeral home?
Sure.
So we're still trying to figure that out. But I think there has to be some sort of connection because she's always by those baby boxes.
Interesting. And with, you know, the thousands upon thousands of bodies that went through there, I'm imagining it. I mean, it would be nearly impossible to go, okay, you're Mabel Siegfried, who came through here in 1958. I mean, there's a gazillion of them to go through, so it'll be hard to say this is exactly who an individual is. Do the records exist of like who went through there?
I don't think we, at least not to my knowledge, we've had any relative information to who's came through there.
Yeah.
So that's always going to be the mystery at the Bell, is trying to get names. We have maybe just a handful. Hopefully, you know, we, as well as for myself, I never say everything's 100%.
Yeah.
Cause like you just mentioned, there's just so many bodies that came through there. I mean, it could be anybody. You could have jokesters there.
Sure.
I could say, hey, this is my name, but it's truly this name.
Yeah.
So it's one of the mysteries, and it's a great place to start learning, just because there's so much activity.
Is it one of those where you'd almost guarantee that if you go in there to investigate, you're going to get something?
Yeah, I mean, since I've been going there in December, there has not been one time that I've been there that I haven't gotten any activity at all.
Yeah,
I just now call it the Paranormal Playhouse.
Sure.
The activity there is always going. Whether if you're there during the day, because when we're working on embalming table, I think it was around 12:30, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. But then also, I think to my knowledge that time probably doesn't exist in the afterlife.
That wraps up part one of our conversation with Jeff Walker. A big thank you to him for joining us. In part two, we're going to hear about his experiences at the Ohio State Reformatory and what some of the tragic events were that took place that still may reverberate to this day. What were the first emotions that came over Jeff as he walked into the Mansfield Reformatory? And what happened in the east cell block of this very haunted location? Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.